from another planet to bring the funk. So put on your earbuds and get in your bunk. It's Cast Today, it's here to stay, don't act like a punk. It's Cast Today, come sail away, and now let's get crunk!
Matt Peters! Matt Peters! Matt Peters! Matt Peters! Matt Peters! Matt Peters!
This is Cast Today number 10. We are a third of the way through Cast Today month, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for being with me so far. I got a good one for you today. My buddy John Castro, he was on the show last year. A lot of you guys really dug what he was doing. In fact, it was the highest downloaded episode of all the episodes we put out there. So let's all welcome back John Castro. He's a good buddy of mine, as I mentioned. And yeah, I mean, there's just so much going on. Everybody's kind of just in this holding pattern right now, in the geek world, the nerd world, whatever, just in the world, period. Everybody is just waiting for so many different things to happen. E3, of course, I've been talking about this every single day. There's more and more news leaking out. Yeah, it's like there's really no surprises that are out there right now, but we haven't gotten to the big show yet. So you stay tuned. I'm sure they're going to bust out something that we don't know about yet. A couple things happened today. A couple two-tree. First of all, Xbox owners were surprised when they logged in and they saw that Fallout 4 was available for free. Not only the game, but the expansion packs, the season pass, everything was just available except for the newest one, Far Harbor. It was just all the other ones were available for free on Xbox One. Unfortunately, this wasn't a secret sale. This wasn't a glitch that's going to be honored. It was just a glitch. Major Nelson issued a statement about the glitch, saying that an unintended discount caused some excitement today, to say the least. While we love the enthusiasm it generated, prices for Fallout 4 games have been restored. So if you downloaded the Fallout 4 game, you played it for free, consider it a temporary demo. Unfortunately, they're going to disable the game for those that downloaded it for free. But as an apology for the confusion, they will offer a $10 credit from Microsoft that'll be in your account by the end of June. So there's your silver lining. In other news, Kevin Smith, one of my favorite personalities, the podcast hero for many of us, and also movie director, but it's weird how that kind of like is the last thing you say about him lately, when his career started out with the prolific film Clerks. Anyway, Kevin Smith announced that the follow-up to the 95 movie Mallrats, which is one of my favorite films, Mallrats, is actually going to be a 10-episode series instead of a follow-up movie. So he's still very motivated about it, as Kevin Smith usually is about his projects, but we're going to have to wait and see what network that's going to be on, what format it's going to be released in. I can see this coming to a Netflix or maybe just given the content that he usually puts in his films, it can't be on regular TV. As much as I love the Clerks cartoon, it needed to be unedited, unfiltered, uncensored, and it just didn't have that ability to just run wild and run free, even though it is a pretty cool cartoon. If you haven't seen the Clerks animated series, check it out. I think it's like only 6 episodes anyway, so you're not going to spend much time doing that. That's it for today. Tomorrow is Let's Play Saturday, and we have a special guest coming over, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Without further ado, here's my guest for today, John Castro. Take it away. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. I am here with the one and only John Castro. How are you, John?
Hello, sir. Good to see you once again, and as always.
Welcome back to Cast Today.
I'm excited to be back.
Yes, as I've told you multiple times since last year, yours was the most highly downloaded episode.
I don't know why. I love that. That's great, and I hope to challenge those numbers. That's why I'm here today. So get out there, people. Download the episode. Give it a listen because it's quality as usual.
Yes. Well, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Let's get the conversation done. Then we can start tweeting and Facebooking and all that business.
As always.
So we talked about a lot of sci-fi last time around. I wanted to get your thoughts on Star Wars Episode 7.
So that's a great place to start. I loved it. Let me just start out there. I saw the good and the bad and read people's reviews and all the vile stuff on the internet. I was pretty upset that people decided to spoil it. That's ridiculous. That's unfair. Yeah. And the way they did it, I mean, I understand, like, you're in that culture now, and people tweet stuff and post stuff and whatever, but a friend of mine was reading an article about the NBA on ESPN.com and was reading the comments, and one of the major spoilers was in one of the comments. Like,
no.
Yeah. That's how people were doing it. Or the kid at the theater who was standing there and yelling out, you know, one of the major spoilers of the movie, who literally got physically beat up by people for doing that. And I don't condone the violence, but it's like, man, this, people are so passionate about this, and people care. They've been waiting a long time for this, and it's right. I feel like they did it the right way. They did the movie the right way. You know, mm-hmm. I think JJ did a great job, and people were excited to see it. There was a lot of good buzz. There was a lot of good positive feedback, and people were saying, "Oh, you got to see it." So, you know, it was a trap. So that's terrible. couldn't resist.
Yeah, yeah.
But back to the original question. I loved it, man. I really. But you know, and again, part of it was I went on opening night.
Yes.
I went with a great group of people that were into it, that loved it, that we were all excited. We weren't in cosplay, but we were wearing our shirts, you know, t-shirts and whatnot. And it was fun, man. It was fun. I you know, one of the biggest critiques, people said it's another retread. It's another, you know, blown up the Death Star, and it's another, you know, it's episode 4, you know, rebooted essentially with the female. Sure. I get that. You know, I could see that. But you know what, man? It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good.
You know, it's funny. The criticism that folks were giving it, it happened almost to just fly in the face of all the praise it was getting, too. Like, I'm not saying that anybody legitimately, you know, was just hating on the movie because they just wanted to hate something. But it almost came off that way, too, a little bit, you know?
Well, you know, I think that's something we talked about last time, that people always have to find that negative. They always have, somebody always has to take the other side. Somebody has to say, oh, it sucked. Oh, it wasn't good. Like, just let me enjoy it. I don't need your commentary. I mean, speaking of Star Wars related, I'm shocked that the Chewbacca mask video didn't get, which was hysterical, that yes. that there wasn't a follow-up expose on this woman weeks later, that she abuses her kids or that she's a bad secretary, whatever, yeah. whatever, you know, that she did something wrong, or, you know, for once people just let somebody have their 15 minutes and laughed along, and it was great, and she was great.
Well, I'm with you. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case. Like, I know what you're talking about, but in certain fan circles, and I've seen a lot of this online recently, and these are the same people that would post something about Stan Lee being dead or something.
Yeah.
I talked about that at the beginning yesterday. There's a lot of just fake reports. You see that all the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chewbacca mom, she's been asked to attend different conventions now, like autograph signing conventions. And people are like, well, what is she doing next to this celebrity? What is she doing next to that celebrity? She doesn't belong there. It's like, she was invited. She said yes. People are lining up to give her $20 for her autograph.
Dude, who cares? Exactly. Let her sign autographs. That's what I mean.
But like, then people are taking, like, sad or angry pictures next to her and stuff like that. It's like, okay, you're ruining someone else's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why people feel that need, and that's an internet thing. And again, I think that's something we talked about before. Like, it's great because it's a powerful tool, obviously. But when people use it for, like, everybody gets a voice now, so everyone's gonna pout. Everyone has to make sure. And dude, she was having fun. Like, just let it be fun.
Right, right.
But
and just demanding things like, oh, she better give it to charity. Like, you can't tell someone else what to do.
Maybe she will. I don't know. You know.
So, yeah. Whatever.
Well, that's a bummer. But at least it's not as bad as finding the terrible expose. But
yeah.
No, I loved the movie. It was fun. And yes, it was a little bit of a retread. You know, there was a line in the movie that Han Solo literally says, it's only bigger. You know what I mean? They knew that. They knew that going in. But it worked. And people, it made you feel like a kid again. And that's what I think people really loved about it. One interesting take on that, though, was I thought it was kind of dark. And I'm not big on actually posting. I'll respond to stuff on Facebook and social media. I don't post much, but I actually posted a little blurb just to say, hey, maybe parents of really young kids, really sensitive kids, should see it first because it's a little violent. Oh, you know, it's a little dark. And some people were like, I disagree. It was no darker than episode 3. And I said, hey, you know, I think there's a little bit more personal investment in there. And I'm probably sensitive because I have two young daughters. I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. A 7-year-old is going to be 8 soon. Mm-hmm. So she was a little younger then, obviously. And she's very sensitive to blood. She's very sensitive to violence. And, I mean, literally when Finn wiped the blood on her, you know, he had the blood on his helmet, she's like, Daddy, why didn't you tell me there's blood, like, hiding her face? Mm-hmm. And so I knew other stuff that's telegraphed, like, cover your eyes, you know. Yeah. But, she covered her eyes during episode 7. So that
it's interesting you mentioned it's dark because people were so worried about the mouse.
Right.
So worried that, oh, it's going to be Disney-fied. Same issues they had with the Marvel stuff, you know?
Yeah, I don't think... If anything, and this whole situation with Gareth Edwards, then the reshoots with Rogue One is a testament to how involved they are, that Disney is, and how successful they want this to be. And, you know, like, again, there's the internet. Who knows what the real story is?
Right.
Some executives saw it, and there was some reshoots. That's all. That's the story. Who knows what they thought? Who knows who said what? Unnamed source, my guy on the inside, you know, they want to make a good movie. And sure, again, here comes the smartasses, you know, like, well, yeah, sure, they have stockholders, they have money, they have to make $1 billion. Okay, sure, if that's gonna help us have a better movie, then I'm all for it.
Right. You know, there was actually an interesting article on Screen Rant where they list 13 movies that prove reshoots aren't always a bad thing. So, you know, movies like E.T., before the internet really existed, you know, E.T. had reshoots, but it wasn't a big deal. You could read about it in Variety, but nobody was reading Variety like that now.
Right.
So.
It wasn't Variety.com. So.
Right. Avengers had reshoots. The night of the premiere, they pulled the cast back to go shoot the bonus scene. Now, admittedly, it was a goofy scene, but still, you know, they had them all there. And, you know, that's why... Chris Evans had his face covered up because he had a beard for another role he was doing.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
People worry about reshoots. Even The Simpsons movie.
Yeah.
It didn't test well, so they had to go back and redo some of that.
And and again, based on what you read, some people said that Rogue One tested poorly in front of audiences. Mm-hmm. Other people said that's a bunch of baloney. It didn't actually test. It just went in front of Disney execs. And it was more about, hey, we need this to... The bar is set this high and you're not there yet. So, that's life, you know. But it's funny you mentioned E.T. specifically. I was talking about the kids earlier, and I've been trying to figure out, like I said, 5 and 7, we're getting kind of past animated films, trying to figure out where do we go, what are movies to watch. And that's something I'd like to throw out to the listeners. Like, throw me some suggestions of movies for kids as we transition into that. I mean, seriously. And just to let everybody know, we've watched Back to the Future. Mm. We did watch E.T.
Did you guys watch Tomorrowland yet?
We did not watch Tomorrowland.
Okay. I highly recommend that.
You brought that up before, but yeah. I'm telling you, she's real goofy with violence. So,
okay.
So keep that in mind. She's 7, man. It's a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything, but the violence that does happen in that movie, there's no... big overarching consequences.
Okay. You'll see, and there's that. No blood, and there's no... It's right. More blood. It's more that kind of, like...
Oh, okay. Well, this is like Looney Tunes level, like where someone in the movie gets hit and then they bounce right back.
Okay.
You're not expecting that to happen, but it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're not going to watch Scarface or anything like that anytime soon. But quick one about Tomorrowland. So, my wife has actually been teaching kids. She's a Spanish teacher.
Oh, okay.
She's been teaching kids from the house, you know, younger kids, teaching them Spanish.
That's insincere. I said, oh, okay, like I didn't know. But I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I know you know, but this is relevant for the story.
Okay.
She has a group of girls, younger girls, and they came over. I walked in during class one day, and when they left, they asked my wife, they said, have you seen that movie Tomorrowland yet? And she said, no, I haven't. They said, your husband looks like the guy from Tomorrowland. So, my wife said, do you know what movie they're talking about? I said, yes. And she said, do you know what guy they're talking about? I said, Yes, because I think there's only one guy from Tomorrowland that you would actually say he looks like the guy from Tomorrowland, which I don't think I look anything like the guy from Tomorrowland, but I told her it's George Clooney. She's like, I love you dearly, but yeah, I don't know about that. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Still, man, ego was on 10 that
day. Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know.
They were, I said, well, apparently in their circle, and you know, 8-year-old land, I'm the George Clooney of 8-year-olds.
There you go.
8-year-olds, too. 8-year-olds.
Hey, that's big praise from 8-year-olds. Yeah.
So like I was saying, I'm not showing the girls Scarface. We're not going to go check out Sicario. Oh, but we did watch Princess Bride, which I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
But again, even that, like the R-O-U-S's, freaked out. You know, she got freaked. Daddy, you didn't tell me there's blood. I'm like, what? He got bit on the shoulder. It's fine, you know?
See, a lot of people will make the case saying, back in my day, things were a lot more violent. They just knew kids could suck it up. But that's because you were conditioned for that back then. The stuff that we're given now, the Dora the Explorer and stuff like that, it's just very vanilla. She doesn't really see much action.
Right, even in the car. Yeah, we were watching Tom and Jerry.
Right.
Beat the crap out of each other. I mean, that's why you got to love the itchy and scratchy stuff, because yeah, it's obviously...
it takes it to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I don't know if I've told you this. It was 1979. I was 4 years old when Alien came out in the theater.
Yeah.
And my family and my uncles, all my dopey uncles and my mom and everybody decided they wanted to go see that movie. So rather than get a babysitter, I went to see Alien, and horrified me, and I was literally jamming my face in the movie seat at 4 years old because I was so terrified. So wow. It scared the crap out of me. So I keep that in mind too with the girls, you know.
I'm going to give you an exclusive here. I may have shared this with you personally, but I'll share it with the listeners. I had a similar reaction to E.T.
Really?
The saving grace of E.T. was a young Drew Barrymore. I even had a crush on her back then. But that alien, I wasn't trying to mess around with that alien at all.
That's funny. That's hilarious. They actually, my girls actually, they liked E.T. They enjoyed it. They did like Princess Bride. I think it was a little bit got lost in that.
Yeah.
And my older one likes stuff. The little one's 5. She gets bored.
It's a little quiet.
It is. It is. So, but she liked it. You know, we're boohoo. You know, the wife's boohoo, and I got a tear in my eye, a little nostalgia, and a little, you know, E.T.'s leaving.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, one of the fun things that I was so excited to talk to you about was, so we watched Back to the Future, and this is cool for listeners, for people when you're starting to get to this phase when you're having kids, or if you have kids and if you've experienced the same thing. She's 7. She's just starting to watch movies. She's just starting to watch non-animated flicks. The concept of the Hollywood ending, of the Disney ending, is foreign to her. Dude, she was on the edge of her seat during Back to the Future, like, about to crap her pants. Because she's like, holy shit, Marty McFly is going to get stuck in the 50s, dude. Like, he's effed. Like, there's no way... And then Doc Brown, you know, and then the cord gets unplugged. She's like, oh, no. She's losing her mind. Uh-huh. And, you know, 88 miles per hour, lightning strikes at 10:04, and everything's good. And she was just so blown away. And then Doc Brown gets shot. But spoiler alert, Doc Brown gets shot. He's saved. And she's like, just too much for a 7-year-old mind to handle.
Yeah.
But it's so awesome to watch that movie magic really, you know, play a part and be effective. And you forget what it's like to see that for the first time.
That's really cool. I love that. Like, you know, you've shown me those videos before, like the kids reacting to, and we might have even talked about this last time, the kids reacting to finding out that Darth Vader's Luke's father.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that too. If you haven't seen it, you probably want to stop the podcast and go watch all 7 of them.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, man. It must be great just discovering these movies all over again through their eyes, you know?
It is, because we get, you know, we've become so jaded and so spoiled. And so, you know, again, back to episode 7, like, what do you want, man?
Right.
You know, and it's funny because Jurassic Park came up on Netflix, and I get a chance to watch a lot of stuff on the train.
Yeah.
And I remembered, I watched the first one, and I'm like, you know what? I didn't see Jurassic World. Mm. Because I don't remember 2 or 3. I'm like, I don't even know if I saw 3. I think I saw 2. And I went back and watched 2. And I remember why I don't really remember it. Because it's kind of a shit movie. But
until the end, I mean, nothing really happens.
It's fine. Yeah. It's just they needed a sequel. Yeah. You know, it's it's fine though. But the thing that struck me is how blown away you were seeing those dinosaurs and seeing that magic the first time. Then you see it now. It's like, wow, it's starting to lose its fastball a little bit. I mean, that looks a little hokey. And I think it's the organics look a little hokey because Star Wars and Alien and some of that stuff holds up. But I think that's mechanical. I think that's ships and stuff. You know what I mean? And rocks. And
yeah, it's supposed to look shiny.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to have that sheen. But if you look at older like CG movies, yeah, they do look a little plasticky.
Right.
You know, which is why Toy Story holds up as well, because they're supposed to look like plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And even with Jurassic Park, even the animatronic stuff, it just looks fake. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm sure my daughter will see it and again, be blown away. But I haven't seen the new one. I'm sure the new one is just leaps and bounds.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you should watch that. Totally watch that. But, yeah, man, there's so much out there for kids from back in the day. Like, I'm thinking of Labyrinth, of course, you know, rest in peace, David Bowie.
Yes.
Neverending Story. My cousin named her dog Artex. She was so in love with that movie.
Nice.
Man, there's so many. Yeah.
What about a little Danielson? A little Karate Kid action?
I don't know if those age too well. Actually, no, I take that back. I watched the first one a few weeks back, and it's still very enjoyable. The other ones, you know, I don't know.
Nah, not the 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, not the next Karate Kid.
No, the next Jamie Karate Kid.
Karate Kid.
Yeah,
and all that. Yeah.
No, I that's it's funny and it's a good testament to the 80s. You know what I mean? It's the style. Like it's a good window into that as well.
Yeah.
But it's more concerned. You know, it's funny because I try to be cognizant of the violence and of the sex thing, but it seems like in America, everyone's so worried about this. Was there sex? It's like, yeah, this dude was gutted by a scimitar, but that was cool. But they were making out at the end, and we couldn't watch that.
Oh yeah, you know, because that's not how any of us got here at all.
So. Right, you know. So I'm cognizant of both. Like she doesn't like violence anyway, and I think I don't remember if we talked about this, but I remember I read an article about Kingsman where he had said that, was that Matthew Vaughn?
Matthew Vaughn, yeah.
Said that after people saw the movie, the very first question was about that last scene. Like, why did you put that joke about anal sex in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, 5 minutes before, people's heads were literally exploding. But everybody was cool with that. Everybody was cool with the church scene. But the anal sex joke, like, whoa, dude, too far, bro.
That church scene pushed boundaries that will only be met by the Preacher series if they let them go full board with it.
Right.
Because, dude, there's so much going on in Preacher right now.
Yeah.
It's going to get nuts really fast.
Well, I know you were talking about that with Arch.
Yeah.
So we'll be interested to see how that develops.
Yeah, me too.
And again, unfortunately, you know, I'm limited to, right now it's Monster High. That the girls are watching, and like Liv and Maddie. So if you want to talk some Liv and Maddie craziness, dude, we can go all day on that.
Well, let's go back to the future a little bit. See what I did?
Hey.
Let's talk about Rogue One a little bit. It's you and I have been talking about this as well. It's so weird to think about a new Star Wars coming out this year, and we just got one last year.
Right.
It's crazy.
I hope we're not going to get spoiled. It's tough. And they're scheduled to come out every year,
you right? Know,
staggered, I think, between December and May eventually, but once a year is nuts.
And this cast, I mean, we've got Donnie Yen. Have you seen any of the Ip Man movies?
No,
those are fantastic. Like, yep. The action sequences in there are great. Some of the best action sequences they've had in years in any type of like kung fu flick or something like that.
I'll have to download that. Again, I get my 45 on the train, so
well, those are quick. You knock those out. That's those my go. Time. Forrest Whitaker's in it.
Eddie Garlick, bro. Sure.
Yeah, man.
I love that.
Of course, Felicity Jones is heading everything up. Now, there's been rumors that they're going to lead you right up until the first film.
10 minutes.
10 minutes until the first film begins. So that last 10 or so minutes of that movie, of Rogue One, that's going to really be like, it's going to hit all the nostalgia for us, I think.
Yeah.
Because you may see, like, the buns in the background running down the hall.
Right.
You might see a certain vested individual off yes. on the side somehow. You never know.
Yeah, I hope they don't. And again, I don't, people are worried about that. They're just going to, it's going to be all contrived. But I think they'll do it right. I think they're going to handle it right.
Like, yeah.
If that's the case. And the beef that I read was that it was too violent. It was too much like a war movie. And it was too dark. And that's that they want to change the tone a little bit and make it a little bit more of an adventure and a little bit more fun than just like dark. Because you got to keep in mind, you know, you don't want Jar Jar Binks, but you definitely want it to be slightly kid friendly. Yeah. I mean, they have a lot. People forget too, man. Like, I'm glad you're. I'm sorry all your nostalgia buttons aren't getting pushed, but there's literally $4 billion at stake just to open the door,
right?
Just to turn the lights on. Mm-hmm. So you got to make this money back, and you're talking about ancillaries, you're talking about marketing, you're talking about licensing and toys and Legos and spinoffs of the spinoffs and all this craziness and video games and everything else. So there's a lot at stake, man.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, that's the thing. You got to have the teddy bears in there every now and then to sell to the kids. Exactly. Got to have it.
Exactly.
You know, who was the goofy figure? Oh, no, it was BB-8 from episode 7.
Yeah, but
I don't want to say goofy, but that was like really the kid friendly.
You know, there was definitely comic relief too. There was definitely some back and forth, some chatter. It was funny, and it did lighten up those moments. So I would assume those are the kind of things that they're after.
Yeah. So yeah, you gotta have one of those, at least one character to hang your hat on. I think in the first one it was like just Chewie, right? And R2.
Yeah, and you know, Han's always a smart ass. Like there was always, but that movie, that's crazy. I love to watch some of these behind the scenes, these making ofs, these documentaries, and again, those have an axe to grind as well. They're trying to put their story in the best light, but boy, I'll tell you, man, that there's a couple of those that I've seen, and the movie was just an absolute disaster until like literally 11th hour.
Yeah,
you know, there's some great stories about that and.
The reflective sighting of the speeder falling off and stuff. That's
brutal.
I love it.
Looks so bad.
All right, we're going to finish up, but I wanted to talk to you about your burgeoning voiceover career.
So it's a passion, man. It's something that I've always enjoyed. I've always been interested in, and it's not. It's when I do voices when I, it is about really finding a character and. You guys have experienced it because it's when I'm telling a story and it may not be spot on, pitch perfect, tonally, that character or person or voice. And again, we're not talking about George W. Bush. We're not talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, but just telling a story about Mike in the office or Bill in the office or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll do something that you know that's his voice. Like, holy cow, that's funny. A tick or some kind of...
The mannerisms.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it was through that... storytelling and I just, you know, how hard could it be? Was able to spend some time with, took some lessons actually, with a gentleman, the place is called KJ Audio. His name is Kirk Johnson. His dad was like the engineer, like his dad recorded everybody. Hmm. And then Kirk has taken that and spun it into, he does that work, but he also does training. And he trained me, and believe it or not, man, there's a lot that goes into this. It is an art. It is very involved, a lot more physical than you would ever imagine. And that was such a fun thing for me to do it. I was able to get my a couple reels done with him. I did an English, a Spanish, and then a character one. And the character one's a little hokey, but it was just to show range and get voices out there. So I'm just trying to work and do right now. I did it a few years ago, and I just never pursued it. Kids, life, things happen, but now I'm working on getting an agent. I'm working on anything I could do right now, whether it's you know, voices, whether it's, you know, reading instructions. I mean, anything I could do. Anybody out there needs a hand, man, let me know. I'd love to do some work for you. I have a whole setup at home, easy to send you files, whatever you need.
Very cool. I know, because, like, when you let me hear your reel, I'm, like, wondering, who are these other people on here? And it was you. And you let me hear the intro to Black Sheep Bravo.
Yeah.
That podcast. And I'm like, that's all you. That's incredible, dude. That's great stuff. Yeah. And, of course, you know, the illustrious Podcast Federation president, you know.
Yes, yes. President Parker Sr.
Yes.
Yes. I'm a big fan of President Parker Sr. So you go look for that guy. He's a fantastic fellow.
I wonder how his son's doing.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see if he has a hand in the upcoming Ghostbusters reboot.
Yes.
Which already people are crapping all over.
To your
point. Can we watch the movie first?
Yeah, some dude went online, he's an angry video game nerd, but he reviews different stuff for this Cinemassacre website, and he just has this pretentious video of him explaining why they let him down and how he's not going to review the movie because he's just not going to like it. You haven't seen it yet.
It may be a gem. It may suck. Let's eat some corn and have a Slurpee and check it out, man.
It's a Catch-22 situation. Dan Aykroyd, you know, the original Ghostbuster, had a big hand in creating the first movie. You know, the first two movies. He saw it, said he liked it, and you're like, oh, well, he's being paid to say that.
Right.
You know, or he's lost it. You remember that TV show Soul Man? He was behind that exclusively, so I don't trust his taste.
You know, everybody has an opinion. What are you going to do? And it just and ultimately, that's the key for me, man. Whether you're talking about food or movies, like, you read some critics, you find some people you like and respect, and you do what works for you. Mm-hmm. If I want to see that movie, I'm going to see it. You know, if I like it, I like it. You may hate it. Hey, I loved it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's controversial, whatever.
And like you said last time, too, you know, you try to find people that challenge your point of view. At the same time, you need to sniff out who's just being an asshole for being an asshole's sake.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Once again, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure, man.
Right on.
My pleasure.
Man.
It was fun as always. Can't believe the time's already up. Awesome.
Okay, sir. And thank you, folks, for tuning in. See you next time on Cast Today. Stay by.